Like I've been running way hard. Not way hard, but in kind of that black hole area of not too hard, but not too easy, just enough to not be worth much of anything. Episode 538 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip: heart rate training, FAQs. Hey guys, before we dive into today's quick tip, just have a couple of quick things to address. First and foremost, I need to thank, and I'm happy to thank, Miss Ava Martinez, who is the most recent person to jump on board and support the show via Patreon. So if you're unaware or you're unfamiliar or you haven't heard of it before, Patreon is a platform that's kind of models the NPR model a little bit, where you can help support the show. You can pledge $1, $2, $5, whatever amount works for you per month. It's not per episode or anything crazy like that. Just a small dollar amount per month. And if you're able to do it and you're willing to buy me a cup of coffee, that really helps. So, one cup of coffee, you can even make it a cheap black cup of coffee, which is my preferred drink. Or you can get some type of fancy mocha, froca, choca, loca, laca, laca, some type of coffee like that. And ship that to me once per month, just to help keep the lights on and keep things moving along. And I've got some things in mind to make it even more sweet for you, for those that are patrons, things that I can do, as this year progresses, some things that I can offer, some behind the scenes type of things, to just kind of, as an additional way to say thank you. But to Ava and all the folks who've jumped on board recently, and especially to those who've been on board for months and months and months, those cups of coffee mean a lot. So thank you, Ava, and everybody else who is continuing to support the show via Patreon. Certainly appreciate it. If you want to get on board, patreon.com/dizruns. The link's in the show notes. The link's in the album art as well. So if you're on the go, tap the album cover, the podcast cover, and the artwork. That'll bring up the show notes in most podcast apps. And scroll towards the bottom when it gets to where all the links are, and you'll have the option there to support the show via Patreon. Real easy process. And like I said, a couple bucks, $4, $5, $8, $10, $1, whatever works for you is much appreciated. The other bit of housekeeping that I want to make sure to do, I've announced this a couple different places, but I know not everybody either reads the emails or not everybody's in the Facebook group, whatever the case might be, but the book is coming. We've got a test copy has been printed. Everything looks good. And we are looking for the end of March 2018 as official launch date. So for those that pre-ordered, thank you for your patience. Your book is coming. As soon as we hit go and we're officially published and live, I'll get all the books sent to me, sign them, sent out to you. And if you haven't gotten the book yet and you want to, grab one, you can set your calendar for the 30th of March. You can jump on board, at bereadyonraceday.com is the website address. You can get a couple of, sample chapters, and I'll be sure to let everybody know who's grabbed those chapters as well. A reminder email on the day that the book is alive, and you can go ahead and grab your copy then, digital or, digital on the Kindle or a printed copy as well. Both will be available. So, thank you guys again for the pre-orders. Thanks for the patience. And thanks for the support. Hopefully the book will be helpful. That's the name of the game. But just wanted to make sure everybody knew that it is finally a done deal. We are. The light is at the end of the tunnel, and it is getting bigger. So thank you again for your patience. And thank you for your patience in getting through the longest introduction to a Quick Tip episode in the history of Quick Tip episodes. But we are finally at that point where the housekeeping is done. And let's dive into what we're talking about today. So, it's been a minute, starting about the somewhere in November. I talked about this here and there a few times, but, I read the book Primal Endurance and decided that, I wanted to give it a shot. And the reason I picked up Primal Endurance to begin with is I'd been intrigued with the idea of doing kind of the high fat, low carb type of diet and how that might impact me as a runner. I've known that people do it and have pretty good success with it, but I had never really looked at some of the science behind it, some of the reasoning behind it, some of the actual nuts and bolts about how it worked. So I grabbed the book off of Amazon. Again, Primal Endurance is the title. In case you're interested, I've got links to it in the show notes. If you just want to bounce over there, dizruns.com/ what is this one slash. You'd think I'd remember this stuff. /538. I have the links right there. But I got the book thinking it was going to be all about low carb, high fat and how that relates to being an endurance athlete. And that's a big part of it. But what I wasn't anticipating was that at the beginning, the first full chapter, and it's probably one of the, I think it might be the longest chapter in the book, is all about slowing down and doing heart rate based training, easy training most of the time, as opposed to kind of that quote unquote normal or standard or traditional endurance training where, you know, you're pushing the pace, doing speed work, maybe running a little bit too fast on the easy days, which is something I've talked about a lot, the need or the benefits of keeping your easy runs truly easy. I didn't anticipate getting hit with that when I was reading the Primal Endurance book, but as I was reading it, as I was going through it, I decided that I wanted to give it a shot and was going to run at least the next 2 months, so at least through the month of January, doing nothing but easy training, nothing but heart rate based training. And as I talked about it here and there and mentioned it in a few different places, I've gotten a lot of questions from you guys, from people that follow me on social media, emails, whatever, about kind of heart rate training. How does it work? You know, some of the more common questions. I've got a bunch of questions, but there's a few that kind of bubble up as being the most common questions. So I just wanted to answer a few of those today. And just so you're aware, in case you haven't heard about me doing this, this is an experiment that I'm doing for the entirety of this year. Right now, I'm pretty confident that I'm probably going to stick with it beyond this year, but I'm going to give it the full of 2018 to really vet it, test it out, see how it goes, especially, you know, can I survive during the summer months down here with that? We'll see. You know, the heart rate might just be able to walk without the heart rate getting too high because of the heat and humidity, but we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to give it a shot, see how it goes. And as I continue to do that, I'll continue to share more with you about how things are going, things I'm learning, things I'm discovering. And if you have any questions about heart rate training, feel free to always reach out to me and let me know, emails, Twitters, whatever, whatever is best for you. And I'll be happy to answer those questions. But today, three of the most common questions that I get as it relates to heart rate training, just going to kind of address these. And, you know, hopefully that'll be something that's interesting to you, or at least something for you to think about. Whether you want to go all in on heart rate training or not, that's up to you. That's your call. I'm not going to tell you that you have to do it. I think from the research and the study and the science that I've done, I think it's very sound, scientifically speaking. I think it's probably the most sound, best way of training. But hey, if you're doing something else that's working for you, keep on keeping on. And I'm not forcing my clients to change over to heart rate training. I'm not going to force you to, not that I could force you, right? But not going to force you to do it either. But something that, you know, it's always good to keep learning, always good to learn new things, and let those percolate in your mind a little bit, and maybe do some research on your own as well. So anyway, without any further ado, the first question that I get most commonly is, how is it going to make me faster? How is heart rate training, which ultimately means slowing down in most cases, how does that make me faster? And really, it just comes down to the science. It comes down to the physiology behind it. I've tried to explain this a few different ways. I'm going to try another way today, but ultimately, the science shows that if you're training in an aerobic level, which is what this whole idea is based off of, you know, using a formula to find out what the highest level of intensity should be, and the simplest, probably best formula that I've come across is to just simply go 180 minus your age. So 180 subtract how old you are. So if you make it real, making the numbers easy, if you're 40, 180 minus 40 means that your maximum aerobic heart rate is 140. All right, so then you set that into your watch, into your Garmin, into your phone, whatever it is, whatever thing you're using, and you don't let yourself get faster than that. So that is your maximum aerobic level then, your maximum exertion level that you should be doing for your run. So how does that help you get faster? Because on race day, let's not kid ourselves, you can be the most devout follower, believer, disciple of heart rate training, but on race day, you want to go. You want to run, you want to race, you want to push your limits. How is that going to make you faster on race day? Well, really, it's quite simple. What you're doing when you're building your aerobic base, which is what heart rate training is all about, is that you get more efficient at a lower heart rate. So, you know, if right now your easy pace ends up being something that, you know, your quote unquote easy pace, but you strap the heart rate monitor on, you get out there and run, and you're easy, you know, what feels easy to you ends up being at 152 beats per minute. Even though your formula says you should be at 140, well, you're not efficient at your easy pace yet. So you need to slow down, slow it down a little bit. Might feel a little bit awkward, but stick with it. You'll get used to it. It's an acquired skill, but you'll figure out how to run efficiently or how to not feel as awkward, run a little bit slower. And if you stick with it little bit by little bit, week by week, month by month, all of a sudden, you'll be at 137 on your heart rate, and you'll be running faster than what your current easy pace is. And that's just going to keep getting a little bit faster and a little bit faster, even though your effort stays constant. Your effort's not getting any harder. You're not working any harder, but you're getting more efficient. And why does that happen? Well, simply because our body gets more efficient at burning, at using oxygen and burning fat for fuel, which is kind of a why primal endurance and why the idea of high fat training is really coupled with this heart rate training thing, is that your body burns fat more efficiently, gets more bang for its buck. And as you train that to happen, you're able to get faster at a lower intensity. So how does that translate on race day? Well, on race day, you're going to go hard. On race day, you're going to push beyond your maximum aerobic level. But what happens is your body doesn't need to work. Your body's better at burning fat for fuel, even at a higher level. So on race day, when you're going hard, when you're ready to go, you're less likely to bonk. You're less likely to crash. You're less likely to fade because you've trained your body to be more efficient at a lower level. So yeah, you pick it up on race day. Yeah, you're gonna be pushing things, all right? But on race day, most of your energy has to come from aerobic systems anyway, because you know you can do 400 meters and all you want, repeats all you want, and it's a good thing to mix those in once in a while, even when you're doing a heart rate training, type of plan. When that's how you're moving forward, it's still good to blow the doors off once in a while with a hard workout. But doing those repeats, doing quarter miles or doing mile repeats or tempo runs or whatever, that's not helping you on race day for your half marathons or your marathons. Yes, it's good. Yes, it's working different systems. There's a whole host of science that goes into it. But ultimately, half marathons, marathons, those longer distance races, those are all about being efficient as possible in your aerobic fitness. When you work in 400 meter repeats, 800 meter repeats, tempo runs, you're not working your aerobic system. You're working your anaerobic system. You're working on producing energy when oxygen is at a premium, when you actually are running an oxygen deficit. But on race day, I mean, you know you can't run your 400 meter pace for a half marathon. There's no way. No way. Because you need to be running slow enough, easy enough, that you're taking in enough oxygen to create the energy that you need. Well, why not train to be more efficient at taking in oxygen and using that to create energy? And that's what heart rate training is all about. So you might not get your top end speed, might not improve very much, might not improve at all, might even come back just a little bit. You know, if maybe you're running your 400 meter repeats right now, maybe you're running them at 76 seconds or 92 seconds or whatever it is. If you don't do any of those for 4 months, 5 months, and stick just to heart rate based training, You might slow down a few seconds on each of those. You might be running at 82 seconds now or 100 seconds now. But so what? So what? If your comfortable aerobic pace improves by a minute and a half per mile, which is not out of the realm of very, very real possibility in just a few months of heart rate training, if you're running a minute and a half faster per mile at an easy pace, so what if for a 90 second or a 400 meter dash, you're a touch slower? Unless you're running 400 meters, unless you're a track athlete running 400 meters, I'd rather be running faster in the marathon distance to reach my marathon goals than to be just a touch faster or to be a touch slower on my 400 meter repeat. So that's how you get faster. You become more efficient. You become more fit aerobically, which is what we ultimately, the races that most of us are running, at least, I know the races I'm running are all aerobic level races. So if I can improve my aerobic fitness, I'm going to improve my results in those races. So building your aerobic base is huge. And that's what the easy training does. That's what the heart rate training does. So that's how you get faster from running slower on race day. That's how you get faster on race day from running slower in your training by doing heart rate training, is building that aerobic base. So the next question that I get was, but can I still do my hard days? I kind of like doing my speed repeats. I kind of like doing hill repeats or a tempo run or whatever. Kind of think you're masochistic or sadistic or whichever one of those that is. But that's another story for another day. Yes, you can still do your hard days eventually. You've got to build that base up first. You've got to give yourself that good cushion of fitness in order to get the most out of it. Now, you know, if you're coming to me right now, which is where I was 6 months ago, thinking, yeah, I tend to do most of my runs pretty easy, but you know, I still hit my hard workouts once or twice a week, no big deal. Can I still do that? nah, if you're like me, you probably thought you were running easy, but then you get the heart rate monitor going and you realize that maybe you weren't running quite as easy as you thought. So you need to focus on slowing down a little bit more, building that base back up. And then what you start to realize, and what I've realized in the last month, is that maybe I need to spend even more time building the base than focusing on getting my couple of hard workouts in per month. Because I took a step back in my overall fitness this month from doing my math test, which is a test that you do to measure, you know, where you're trying to stay right at that maximum aerobic level, the maximum aerobic heart rate, stay right at that for a set amount of distance, and you should be getting faster every month. If not, then you need to cut out the speed work and focus on building that aerobic base again. That's what I'll be doing next month, because my test today, failed. 30 seconds per mile slower than I was last month. The only thing that was different is this month I did a hard race and a hard tempo run. Well, guess that was too much. Time to back off a little bit. And I know it sounds counterintuitive. I know it sounds a little bit ridiculous, but looking at the science, reading the literature, doing the studies, it really does make sense. So you can still do your hard days once in a while, but they got to be few and far between. And when you do it, you got to blow the doors off. Go hard. But don't think that you can just, I'm going to start doing heart rate training and I'm still going to keep doing my speed workout once a week. Like, you got to give it some time to really get the most out of it. You know, it's kind of treat your speed days as kind of, you know, the garnish or the salt on the food or something like that, where a little bit is great and it really brings out the subtleties and the best bits of whatever food you're eating. But if you oversalt it too much, it just kind of ruins your whole plate. And it's the same thing with your speed days. It's the same thing with your high intensity training days. A little bit at the right time, it's perfect. But if you do too much of it, it really kind of ruins everything else that you've worked so hard for. Just like if you oversalt the plate, no matter how meticulous you were in the kitchen, if you oversalt the food on the plate, it just isn't as good as it was, and it almost becomes repulsive. And it's the same thing, you know, it almost makes it unedible. It's the same thing with your training. You too much speed work, too much high intensity training, it undoes all of the base work you've been doing, or at least it undoes a lot of it, and it really kind of just it makes it bad. It's not a good thing. Too much of it is not a good thing. So I don't know if I'm talking myself in circles there. It's kind of hard to explain without getting too technical, and I don't want to get too technical right here. If you want me to get more technical, reach out to me, leave me a comment, shoot me an email, and we'll talk more about it. But the last question that I get most commonly as it relates to heart rate training from folks is how do I measure it? And or do I need to get a heart rate strap? Yes, you need to get a heart rate strap. Here's why. You might have one of the fancy Garmin watches that measures your heart rate at your wrist. It's not accurate. Okay. The there's studies, and I linked to one in the show notes today from the American College of Cardiology, which, you know, pretty legitimate study right there. They looked at the accuracy of heart rate straps versus the wrist-based heart rate readings of Apple Watches, Garmins, whatever the different options that are out there. And at rest, the wrist straps pretty accurate, you know, pretty good. But as you get moving, as you get running, as the intensity increases, the accuracy goes way crazy. They had, you know, if you read the article, and it's actually in very clear English, so it makes sense. It's not technical at all. The margin of error was between plus or minus 34 beats to plus or minus 15 beats, off of the actual perfect readings. So they had, EKGs or ECGs or whatever, the actual, you know, heart readings hooked up. And then they were also comparing it with the wrist, and they were way off. And if we're doing heart rate training, you got to be on, you know, if your maximum level is 140, you need to know if you're getting to 140 or if you're at 144, cause now you're working too hard and you know, you got to slow it back down. But if your watch is reading it, you just can't trust those readings very well. So, spend the money for the strap. I linked up to two of them in the show notes. One that's the Garmin strap, and it's like $42 or $45, something like that, on Amazon. It's great. You can wash it in the washing machine, so it works great, and it should sync up very well with just about any watch that you have that is capable of doing heart rate measurements. So $50, get yourself the strap. If you're using your phone, there's another strap that I linked to, and I actually have both of these straps. It's called the Wahoo Fitness Tracker or something like that, and it goes Bluetooth, so it'll hook up to your phone if you're using MyFitnessPal, something like that. But if you're serious about heart rate training, again, you don't have to be serious about training, but I've had a lot of these questions of people that are interested. If you're going to be serious about going the heart rate route, get the strap. Otherwise, odds are you're going to go too hard, and it's just going to result in you spinning your tires and not making the progress that you want to do. And believe me, because I was doing that for the last, I don't know, year and a half or so. From the time my old Garmin blew up to the time I got my new Garmin towards the end of last year, basically in November, December, I was running without a strap, thought I was running easy. And then I hooked up my strap and my new watch and realized that, oh shit, like I've been running way, way hard. Not way hard, but in kind of that black hole area of not too hard, but not too easy, just enough to not be worth much of anything. So it's easy to do. You know, I thought I was running easy, and I was screwing it up. So, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. So if you're serious about getting a heart rate strap, or if you're serious about heart rate training, you know, get a strap. So that's, hopefully this was helpful, or at least useful. You know, like I said, if you're not thinking about heart rate training, hey, whatever, keep doing what you're doing. But if you're on the fence, or if maybe you've kind of plateaued a bit and you're not seeing any progress, maybe it's time to switch up what you're doing. And maybe that means going heart rate based with your training. And if so, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to offer advice. You know, we can do a consult call. We can work together, or you can just, you know, email me and I'll try to help you that way too. But whatever I can do to help, let me know. But so far, 3 months into the experiment, I like what I see. I like what I see, and I'm going to keep going, and I'll keep you up to date with how things are going as well. So if you have any questions related to heart rate training, let me know on the Twitters, @DizRuns, email DizRuns@gmail.com. And obviously you can head over to the show notes for this episode to get some links and some more information on heart rate training, and leave comments there, and I'll be happy to answer those as well. DizRuns.com/538. And there might be a couple of memes and GIFs that are worth checking out today. Might have done my due diligence here this week, so you can go check those out as well. And that's about it for today. So again, it's not... I think heart rate training works for everybody. I'm convinced that it can work for everybody, but you got to buy in if you want to see success. And if you don't want to buy in, cool. There's other ways to train as well. But I think that the long term, if you're looking 5, 10, 15 years down the road of where you want to be as a runner in that amount of time, if you still want to be a runner in that amount of time, which I certainly do, I think this is the way. It's the least likely to beat yourself up, least likely to cause issues, and most likely to just keep seeing gradual, steady improvement, which is what I'm looking for. I'm not trying to be a flash in the pan for 2018 and then have all kinds of injuries next year. I want to be fit, strong, healthy this year, next year, and beyond. And I believe that heart rate training is the best way to do that. But I'm going to keep learning. And if I learn something that changes my mind, I'll be sure to let you know on that as well. So until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks again to everybody who supports the show. Ava, appreciate you having me on board as a patron. And until next time, talk soon.
See you.